And now brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com from your Chicago Blackhawks WGN broadcast team, Troy Murray. Good morning, Troy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Bob. How are you?
I'm looking forward to Patrick Kane set for his 1,000th game. Did you ever count the number of games you played, Troy?
I couldn't get past 20.
Well, let's see. 15 NHL seasons, and then if you count, 21 years as a member of the Blackhawks broadcast team, I think you're up there.
Yeah, I would be up there. I didn't quite make it as a player. A couple injuries kind of set me back a little bit. But, you know, it's quite an accomplishment. And for Patrick Kane to be the youngest player on the Blackhawks in the Blackhawks history to reach 1,000th game. So quite an accomplishment for Patrick Kane. And what a career up to this point. What a season he's having this year.
688 games, Bob, for Troy with the Blackhawks, 915 in his NHL career. Those numbers are not shabby either.
Well, and when he comes out of retirement, when he comes back to play again, you can add to those totals.
That's right.
I keep saying I'll come back and play for the minimum.
And the minimum
the minimum is more than I ever made in my career.
That's what I was thinking. All right, so how do you let go of a game like Sunday if you're the Blackhawks, where it was such a reversal of fortune starting in the second period on?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, it was 3-0, and I was saying on the air that, you know, now it's critical that you really manage the next few shifts. And those are key moments of a game that the Blackhawks have kind of struggled at this season. They've blown some leads and some big moments where they've scored. They haven't kept the momentum on their side. And, you know, Brandon Hagel took it's an average call, but I guess one that they make on a regular basis in the NHL. And you could just sense when Tampa scored right 11 seconds after to make it 3-1 that, here we go. And the inexperience of the team kind of showed up in that instance that, you know, Tampa went to a different level, and the young, inexperienced group of guys for the Blackhawks just, you know, didn't respond the right way. But listen, it's one of the few teams in the NHL, Tampa is, that has that ability to flick the switch and be a better team instantly. And they really revved it up, and it was tough. But I think that for the Blackhawks, and I know this is what Jeremy Colliton was talking about after the game, he says, you know what, we'll discuss it, we'll talk about it, and we'll move on. Because if you looked at going into that series, if you could be 1-1-1 against the reigning Stanley Cup champions and a team that came in red hot with a red hot goaltender, you would certainly take it. So get rid of the small picture, get rid of those memories quickly, look at the big picture, and move on to a very important series against Dallas starting tonight.
Everybody got excited to see Kirby Dach back on the ice yesterday,
yeah.
And then all of a sudden everybody's hitting the brakes and saying, hey, wait a minute, he's not quite ready.
You know, it was funny, Dave, because at the beginning of this whole injury with Kirby Dach, you know, it was a bad break of his wrist. There's a set time frame, and at some point, even if it's with any broken bone, it's going to start feeling good, and you're going to get excited, and you're going to want to test it, and you're going to want to get back out there. But the reality of it is, it just takes a certain amount of time to become strong enough to be able to be in a position to take the pounding that happens in the NHL on a regular basis, whether it's practice, whether it's shooting, whatever. So they said at the beginning, since like he's going to be coming back because there's nothing wrong with his legs. He can skate and he can train and he can work out. But it's just going to take a certain amount of time for that bone to heal up the way it needs to heal up. And he'll feel like it's better, but the x-rays will tell you how thick the growth in the bone where it needs to heal. You can tell the thickness of when it should be ready, and it's not there yet. So it's great news that he's out there skating, but it's going to be a while yet.
Troy, we've been talking about the good news that fans will be coming in to see the Cubs and Sox play, at least for a while, starting opening day, maybe 8,000 at Wrigley Field and Guaranteed Rate Field to start. How much do you think the National Hockey League players have missed fans in the stands and playing before the home crowd?
Bob, I'll tell you, this has been a great season, and what a bad year for there not to be fans, because I think that coming into the season there was some concern and always some unexpected points of this equation of the team coming in this year. What's the goaltending going to be like? How are these young players? I think the fans would just love this current group of guys. I think that they would be just right into it. Patrick Kane's 400th goal. There's so many good things. The shootout win on Friday night. That place would be going crazy. So I think that the way this team has played, and I wouldn't call it a major surprise, but a pleasant surprise how well they've competed this year. I think the fans would just be really enjoying it. And I think for a lot of these younger players who haven't had the chance to experience what it's like to play at the United Center in front of a crowd of 22,000 people, it's kind of a shame, but it is what it is. And hopefully at some point you'll get the fans back in and you'll get some of the true experience of what it's like to be playing at the United Center.
Yeah, so as far as the players, obviously the fans, as you say, would love this team, and we have to wait a little while longer to get indoors at the United Center and see the Hawks and the Bulls. But from the players' perspective, do you tune it out once the game starts? When you're on the ice, do you sort of block out the fan noise?
It's a good question. And you do get into a kind of a zone, and you don't hear it, but it's hard not to at points feel the excitement in the building, the emotion in the building. And I never played as a Blackhawk in the United Center. I played as an opponent on an opposition team coming in and playing the Blackhawks at the United Center. But my whole time as a Blackhawk was played at the old Chicago Stadium. And, I mean, it was a place that, when things started rolling, you couldn't help but feel the energy. So it's a shame that you don't have that opportunity. And I think for the players this year, one of the things that they've really worked on, and I know that they've talked about this, is finding ways to develop energy and emotion from within yourself, because you can't use the fans. You can't use that emotion. And I think it's really kind of come into play this year. There's been so many late comebacks during the games by the opposition teams. You can't sustain the emotion and the momentum like you normally could, because you can't feel the pressure if you're on the wrong side of it in a visiting building. So there's some good and some bad as far as, if you're in a place that's tough to play in and their crowd isn't there, it benefits you, but you don't get the benefit of the hometown crowd when you're here. And as a player, I never was involved in that kind of scenario, so I can't put my head around what's going on today. But I think once you got into a game, a lot of the times you just were focused in on what was going on the ice and not paying attention to what was going on in the stands.
Right. Go Blackhawks Thursday night. Thanks, Troy. Always good talking to you.
All right. Bob, Dave, thanks for having me on. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Troy.